Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Hi, and welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast. I am Jason Thomas, and I am here today to talk some Chiefs 2021 NFL Draft. Before I jump into that, I'd just like to say it has been a long time since I podcasted, probably at least a year, probably going on 2 years. So I'm a little out of practice trying to remember how to do this, and I am trying to one take this. So, you know, it could be a little rough coming back. Going forward, I am going to try to podcast every couple of weeks going forward. You know, in the past, if you've listened to this podcast, you know, I really enjoyed doing it, but I kind of lost the fun of it for a while. Had some things going on in my life, had some things bothering me physically, and I just didn't enjoy the podcasting as much. And now, you know, I'm feeling good and feeling more like myself, and I wanted to get back into this because I do love the Chiefs. Just a little reminder, I've been a Chiefs fan for over 25 years. And I just like to share my thoughts on them with everybody out there. I am by no means some expert analyst. I'm just somebody who's a big fan, and I've watched a lot of football, and I like to understand what I'm watching and why things are the way they are. I'm big into the fantasy football, the daily fantasy, and, you know, best ball, things like that. Even do a little sports gambling. You know, maybe someday in the future, I can exclusively do that and not have to work a factory job, but that's all kind of a pipe dream. And we'll see if we can get there, but, let's jump into this Chiefs 2021 draft. And, of course, the first thing, we got to talk about is the Chiefs, first round pick, the 31st overall pick, which the Chiefs traded to the Ravens a few days before the draft, for Orlando Brown. I'm doing this from memory, but I believe the Chiefs got Orlando Brown, the Ravens' second-round pick this year, and sixth-round pick next year. And in exchange, the Chiefs gave up their first-round pick this year, their third and fourth-rounders this year, and a fifth-rounder next year. And, you know, you look around and you can see different grades on this trade. There are a lot of Chiefs fans that are just, you know, think that the Chiefs ripped the Ravens off dramatically. I'm not necessarily in that boat, but I do think the Chiefs made a very good trade. I think they did the best they could do in this situation. And I think Orlando Brown has a chance to be a very good player for a very long time with the Chiefs. You know, I'm just going to give my opinion on him real quick. You know, he is a very big, strong guy. You know, the first thing people were coming to me asking me about him, you know, what's his best trait? And I say his best trait is his size. He is just a massive human being. He's been a massive human being for a long time, and he knows how to use it. He is not a great athlete for the NFL by any means, but he is a big, strong guy, and he knows his body and what he can and can't do. You know, the Ravens already had a left tackle in Ronnie Staley that got hurt this season. That's, you know, a top five tackle in the NFL. At least at this point, he's a much better player than Orlando Brown at left tackle. So, you know, and they've already paid him. So I understand why the Ravens, you know, went the route they did. Orlando Brown wants to be a left tackle. It's a personal thing for him. His father played in the NFL for many years. He's actually the player that lost an eye when a referee threw a flag and the weighted part went in his helmet and took out his eye and basically ended his career. And he's passed since then. But, you know, for Orlando, it's personal. You know, I think he's somebody that his mentality will fit in right with the Chiefs. He's an aggressive guy. Now, you know, there are a couple things that I want to see from him, and I am very glad that the Chiefs decided to trade for him and not pay him right off the bat, because that was my one worry, to trade for him, give him just a really big contract, and then, you know, not know 100% sure that he is what what you want. So I'm really proud that Veach is going to have him play out this year and just kind of prove it so that when we pay him, you know, we know he's worth every dime. But when he was with the Ravens, he played left tackle. He quick set a lot. That's not something that the Chiefs have done very much with their tackles. A quick set just means that when the ball is snapped, the offensive lineman is hitting the defensive end. He's trying to get his hands on him first. He's not reacting to the defensive end. He's taking it to the defensive end. And Orlando Brown Jr. seemed to excel at that. A lot of NFL tackles will not try to do that because they just don't have the ability to do it consistently. A lot of them will use it maybe as a changeup and try to keep the defensive ends off guard. But that's not really how Orlando Brown used it, at least last year with the Ravens. But, you know, he's so big and so long. He's got the long arms. He can get into the defensive ends. And he's just so big. He's got enough strength that it's hard to do anything with him. So the defensive ends are just kind of in a pickle when they're trying to move him. Now, you know, some speed defensive ends who are long enough might be able to one-arm him and, you know, be able to beat him to the edge and get around him that way. But honestly, we just haven't seen enough to know if that can happen. And there aren't really that many guys like that in the NFL right now that I think could have a chance to do that to him. So, you know, I like the idea of the power he brings. You know, nobody really seems to beat him to the inside or even try. So, you know, the outside arc seems to be the way, you know, defenders try to go against him. And he's got, you know, some quick feet on him for a big guy. Now, if he's got to race a defensive end 10 yards up the field, he's going to lose. But that just doesn't really happen that much. So, I think there's a very good chance that he's the left tackle of the future and he will deserve to be paid. And then, you know, the Chiefs getting the second round pick, you know, we'll get into that. But I think that was, you know, a very good deal for what they wanted. So I feel like the Chiefs did very good in this trade. I feel like the Ravens did well in this trade too. I don't feel like it was a ripoff one way or the other. You know, and that's honestly the trades I like to see around the NFL, unless it's the Chiefs where I'd like them to rip off people every time. But I think this was a very fair trade. Now getting to the Chiefs, first pick, which was in the second round. It was actually the pick they got from the Ravens. The Chiefs took linebacker from Mizzou, Nick Bolton. You know, he is more of a middle linebacker at Missouri, a downhill linebacker, a run-stopping linebacker. You know, he runs downhill. And, you know, he does a good job at stopping the run, especially between the tackles. One thing I'm going to talk a lot about with each of these draft picks is their RAS, the relative athletic score, which is just a way of comparing the athleticism of the guys in you know, each year's draft to guys in the past. Teams used to use what was called Spark Score. I was really into that. And now they've moved on to RAS, Relative Athletic Score. And one thing to keep in mind is that this year there are no combine numbers, so it's all pro day numbers, which pro day numbers tend to be quite a bit better than combine numbers. And it's not necessarily because people are lying, but you know, at the combine, everything is repeated the same every year. The track is the same. You know, the material they're jumping off of is the same, and it's not always the same every place. And 40 times aren't always laser time to other places. So what I've noticed this year is that you've got a very big group of top-end athletes at every position. So I'm kind of taking that with a grain of salt. And if somebody, you know, it says they're the top athlete ever at their position, I'm kind of thinking that probably means they're like a top 10% athlete at that position, but maybe not the absolute best because we didn't get those combine numbers. Now, I will say Nick Bolton is the only player the Chiefs drafted that is not an above-average athlete for linebacker. He actually had a relative athletic score of 4.62 out of 10. So just below average. And that does worry me a little bit. I'll go through it real quick. He gets marked off because he's short, which honestly, I don't care. He's 5'11". I don't really see how that matters too much at linebacker. And he weighs 237 pounds, which is just a little bit better than average. And, you know, he was very strong in the bench press. He had a very poor vertical jump. He had a decent broad jump. And then his 40-yard dash and 20-yard split were very good for a linebacker. But his 10-yard split, shuttle, and three cone were very, very poor for a linebacker. So what this tells us is when he's running in a straight line and he has 15 to 20 yards to cover, you know, he's very explosive, very fast for a linebacker. But basically his agility and short area quickness is very, very poor for a linebacker. You know, honestly, it reminds me a lot of an Anthony Hitchens in athleticism. And I think that's what the Chiefs wanted. Honestly, I wasn't one of the people that was thrilled with this pick. I do think Bolton, you know, will be able to pick up all three linebacker spots that the Chiefs use. I think he will be the eventual replacement for Anthony Hitchens. I think he's more than smart enough, you know, after he's been in this defense a year or two, to get everybody lined up. And, you know, he'll be a heck of a run-stopping linebacker. But I don't think he adds anything to your pass defense at all. But honestly, that's just something that I think as fans we want for the Chiefs. But the Chiefs have been perfectly fine being at the bottom of the league in linebacker pass defense, and they've made the AFC Championship the last three games. It's not something that's overly important to Spags. So even though maybe it's really important to me, it's not important to them. And they seem to know what they're doing pretty well. I think one of the reasons I was a little bit disappointed with Bolton is because, you know, you get your draft crushes, and there was a guy that went later on in the draft to the Lions named Derek Barnes that I was just really excited about, and I was kind of hoping the Chiefs would get him. He was a better athlete, but he had less experience at linebacker. So I think the Chiefs honestly just kind of took the safest route. I think Bolton will be a very good, or well, I say very good. I think he will be a good starter for the Chiefs, and I think he will be that very early on. And you know, the Chiefs need that. They need to hit you know, some singles and have some guys that fill in positions and aren't weaknesses. And I think honestly, Spags, you know, the league is kind of moving towards being able to stop the run with your four defensive linemen and your two linebackers, with just six guys in the box, and have a good tackling corners and be able to play three safeties that can stop the run. And I think Nick Bolton is the kind of linebacker that fits that ideology really well. You know, in the future, the Chiefs can put him and Willie Gay out there and, you know, hopefully have that strong defensive line and be good against the run with just six people up front and be able to do some things with their secondary, be able to stop the pass. You know, with all these quarterbacks that can run like running backs, sometimes even wide receivers. I think it's important to, you know, have the safeties that and corners that can really help against those type of quarterbacks, because there are very few linebackers that can run with a Trey Lance or a Lamar Jackson. Willie Gay is one that has a chance, but very few teams have more than, you know, one linebacker that can do that. And Bolton, I think, will fit well with the Chiefs. He seems to bring a really tough mentality with him, which I think after the Super Bowl, it was really important for the Chiefs to bring that in. And I think he fits that mold very well. So, you know, I think the Chiefs made a good pick here, a smart pick. You know, at first I was a little bit upset they didn't try to hit the home run, But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, we kind of just need to fill some spots with quality average starters. And you know, he has a little more upside than just average. As a man pass defender, he was very, very poor in college. But, you know, the Chiefs don't ask their linebackers to do man coverage really at all. So, you know, zone is more what the Chiefs ask their linebackers to do. He graded out well at PFF in zone, but you know, you can listen to the PFF guys and they were saying that's the one area that they really don't know how to grade. And I don't think he was a good zone pass defender in college personally, but I think that's something that you can kind of teach him. So, you know, going forward in the future, that, you know, I don't think he'll be a zero there. I think it will just take some time for him to develop. Now, with their second pick in the second round, the Chiefs took Creed Humphreys. And early in the draft process, he was thought to be the top center. And then he started to fall. And honestly, I'm not a big fan of Creed Humphreys. You know, so the Chiefs' first two picks at first disappointed me just a little bit. Not that I didn't think they'd be good starters. They just weren't the guys I was zeroed in on. The Chiefs did put a lot of draft capital in, you know, a two-down linebacker and a center. So, you know, it's important that these guys are good starters through the rookie contract to really pay off. And Humphrey, you know, I was talking about relative athletic score earlier. He's the top center that's been tested. Now, like I say, I think you take that with a little bit of a grain of salt and just say that he is a phenomenal athlete for center. His size, he's just a hair over 6'4". He weighed in at just over 300 pounds. That was kind of the one knock on him as far as his relative athletic score goes, but he graded out as great and everything else. He had 29 reps on bench press, so he was very strong. He had a very good vertical, very good broad. And then his 40-yard dash and his agility scores were just phenomenal. Now, the thing about Creed Humphreys is, you watch his tape and you can just immediately see he's got command of, you know, the protections, which I think is going to be important. You know, Mahomes had been calling the protections for the last couple of years for the Chiefs. I think that if not right off the bat, then pretty quickly you should be able to take that out of his hands where he doesn't necessarily have to worry about those calls. And, you know, Humphrey should be able to do that 100%. He's a very smart player. And then when you watch him in the run game, for being kind of a, he's not somebody that you look at and think he's a great athlete. He's more round than built, just looking at him, but he's just a very surprising athlete. His footwork is great. And in the run blocking, he just dominates people at times in run blocking. He's very fun to watch. He's about as fun to watch as any center you're ever going to see. Just pancaking people and pushing people back. He understands his leverage very well. And he should help our run game a lot. And I think, you know, what might have been most important to the Chiefs is he brings an attitude, a toughness about him. You know, I was talking about it with Bolton, and I think he brings the same thing. And I think they were looking for that maybe above, you know, almost any other attribute in this draft, because, you know, the Super Bowl is hard for us to watch. It definitely showed us that we didn't have enough guys with fight in them. And we definitely brought in two guys with a lot of fight with our first two picks. Now in pass blocking, I do worry about him a little bit early. You know, maybe in his first 2 to 3 years. I know, you know, you see the stat, the PFF stat, the stats that he only gave up 28 pressures in his entire time at Oklahoma, and he gave up zero sacks. He's just 21 years old. But I want to give a little context to that. He does play in the Big 12, which doesn't hardly put any interior defensive linemen into the NFL. So he didn't always go up against the best competition. And then the quarterbacks that he blocked for were Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and this Rattler this past season, who's the favorite to be the first quarterback taken next year. That's another running quarterback. So he blocked for three very mobile running quarterbacks. So of course your center's not going to give up any pressures. That's why the same reason why the Chiefs centers the last couple years have given up only one sack in the last 2 to 3 years for the Chiefs. So with centers, they just don't get attributed with much pressure. The one worry I have with him is that when he did face the Alabamas in the football playoffs and had to go up against elite talent, power seemed to give him some trouble. He could be walked back. It's not like the guys just blew past him or just ran over him, but they were able to bend his top half back and then just walk him back. And so I think he's going to have to work a little bit on his power when it comes to those guys, because he's going to see more of those guys in the NFL. And when defensive teams know that you've got a guy that can be walked back like that, they're probably going to test him early. And it's strange to me because he is a phenomenally strong guy. I mean, his bench press is over 400 pounds. His squat is, over 600 pounds. So, I think it's just a matter of getting the functional strength, getting the technique with those guys. And he is a very, very tall center. So, some of those nose tackles aren't necessarily the tallest, so they'll be able to get under him. And, guys like Vita have so much strength. If that's the only flaw in his game coming out of 21, then I can definitely live with that. Really, the only problem I had with the pick was I just thought that, round two was probably too high to take a center, especially one that was going to have, a Hall of Fame left guard next to him and Tooney, who were paying a lot of money, and, a right guard next to him and Long, who, should be able to help out the center a ton. But to get two guys who are going to be quality starters for you for a long time, I don't really have any qualms about what the Chiefs did, especially after the day three picks, because I absolutely loved what the Chiefs did on day three. Their first pick on day three was the defensive end from Florida State. Sorry, I'm looking on my phone here for his RAS. Josh Kando. And he was somebody that I'd looked at quite a bit before the draft. Him and his teammate, Janoris Robinson. I would have been happy with the Chiefs taking either one of them. Janoris was taken a few picks earlier in the fifth round. So the Chiefs had quite a bit of a wait between, their second round picks and it was a fourth round pick. It was the last pick of the fourth round. Sorry if I got you confused. The Chiefs had the very last pick in the fourth round. It was a comp pick. And so they took Kando. And the thing to remember about him is that in 2019, he had a bad leg injury after he just played. I think he'd only played like three games that season. And so this year at Florida State, he was coming off of that injury, and I don't think he was quite worked all the way back yet. But he is a big man. He is just over 6'5 and a half. He weighed 260 pounds. And, he's got a good vertical, a great broad jump. His 40-yard dash, 20-yard split were just phenomenal for his size. And his agility scores were good. So you're getting a very big, strong defensive end. Florida State has been bad. lately, just to be honest. They get a lot of the top recruits coming out of high school every year, and they haven't been able to do anything with them, and they haven't been able to develop these guys. And both of those defensive ends in the draft this year were that way. But they both went in the fourth round because people know the ability is there. Now, he's not quite as big as Tano Passanio, but he's, you know, very big for a defensive end. He's got those long arms that Spags likes. And as far as being an athlete, he's a better athlete than Tano Passanio was. It says in the testing, and you can see it on the field. You know, I think he's somebody that can come in and, you know, in the first year, definitely give you some setting the edge and some good run stopping snaps, if that's what you need. And then, you know, as you're reteaching them how to pass rush, you know, maybe you can get some good reps from them on the edge this season. I do think that something he should be able to do relatively quickly is when Spags likes to move a defensive end inside to rush the passer, I think he could do that very quickly. You know, he's got good strength, and he's definitely got more side-to-side movement than Tano Passanio did. And I really like Tano Passanio. But, you know, he's got some quickness there, he's got some hip movement, and he's still got those long arms that he can get up in their face. So he gives them a pass-rushing option on third down as a rookie. And then I think he does have some pass rushing upside in the future. It just kind of depends how long it takes Brandon Daly to get that out of him. But the talent is definitely there. Then in the fifth round, the Chiefs traded up from pick 175 and moved all the way up to 162. And to do that, they gave up pick 207 and moved back to pick 227. So basically, they moved up with one pick and moved back with another pick. And they took a tight end, Noah Gray. I do think, you know, I would call him more of an H-back. You know, I think he's somebody that you could line up as a fullback, and he could do fine. He's also somebody that if you wanted to run him out there and line him up as a wide receiver, he can do that a little bit. That's kind of where he's similar to Kelce, just a little bit. I mean, you can watch just a few clips of him running routes and see that he's got that hip wiggle and that little bit of explosiveness that just gets separation very easily in college. I think it will do the same in the NFL. You know, really the only knock on him, and the only knock on his RAS, which it came in at just under 7 out of 10, is his size. You know, he's just a hair over 6 feet tall. He came in at 240 pounds. And his bench press, his strength was kind of weak for a tight end. But a lot of that had to do with the size. And then his shuttle drill was poor. But his 40-yard dash, he ran just a hair over 4.6. His acceleration is extremely good. His vertical is very good. One thing, you know, I've been hearing about him from different places is that, man, he doesn't drop anything. He catches everything that's thrown to him. And I think the Chiefs have been kind of flirting with the idea of using an H-back a lot more. You know, when they brought in John Lovett a few years ago and kept him on the practice squad for a year, you know, I think they were flirting with the idea then, and then Anthony Sherman just kept playing, you know, and gave us some good fullback snaps and gave us some good special team reps. And they just wanted to honor him, basically, until he was ready to retire. And I think this guy, you know, we'll be able to line up in the backfield and give us some fullback reps. He's not the greatest blocker in the world, but he definitely tries. I think it's something he can improve at. He's not the kind of tight end that you just line up at the end of the line of scrimmage and have block a defensive end. He's just not big enough. And I'm not sure that he'll be able to put on enough size to do that. It is possible that with 2 or 3 years of lifting and just refining his technique, that he'll be able to do that better. But I think his value is really you know, as a blocker, getting him, you know, out in space and letting him block in space. He does that very well, kind of like Kelce does. And then as a receiver, he's not a zero. You know, I loved, gosh, I just lost our retired fullback's name. And it's not coming to me. But, you know, he didn't give us a lot as a receiver. You know, Kaiser and even Bell, the past couple of years just don't offer a lot in that way. Bell is back this year. And I do expect him probably to be the number two tight end. But I think that Noah Gray will give you, you know, some catches. And he's going to be way more of a weapon in that role than anybody has been for the Chiefs for quite a while. I've heard some people kind of compare him to Kyle Juszczyk. I honestly think he's going to be a better receiver than Juszczyk. He's just got more wiggle. And that's one nice thing, and that's one worry that I have for the Chiefs going forward, is if something happens to Travis Kelce, I do think you can line him up as a receiver on the outside and do some of the things Kelce did. I mean, nobody's going to replace Kelce, but as long as you can get somebody out there that can get some separation, you know, Patrick Mahomes can make some things happen. And I like having, you know, a little bit of a backup plan, because, you know, if something happens to Kelce or Hill, it's going to be a lot harder for the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl. So anything you can kind of do to give you a little bit of a backup plan in those areas, I think, is important. Now, the next pick in the fifth round for the Chiefs was a wide receiver named Cornell Powell. And honestly, I'm going to be straight up honest with you, I did not know much about this guy before the Chiefs drafted him. I'd heard the name a little bit, but, you know, Frank Darby was still on the board, and I kind of thought that's who the Chiefs were going to go with, the wide receiver out of Arizona State. They didn't. He went a few picks later. But honestly, once I got to looking at these two guys, they remind me a lot of each other. Powell was a fifth-year senior at Clemson. He didn't really get to play much until his fifth year. And that's kind of understandable because, you know, Clemson has had a lot of really good receivers over the past decade. So it's kind of hard to break through. Now, one thing I will mention real quick is that it's a little bit of a bad sign that he didn't break out until his fifth year. Historically, wide receivers that break out young, 17, 18, 19 years old, have almost, you know, an 80-90% hit rate in the NFL. It's pretty amazing. If they can dominate at college at that young, it's a really good sign for their NFL. And the inverse is kind of true. The older a receiver is when they break out, generally, that's a bad sign. But, like I say, he did play at Clemson, and he just probably didn't have the opportunities he would have had if he went to other schools to play wide receiver. He did get to play with Trevor Lawrence. He did get a very excellent quarterback thrown into football, so he did get that as a positive. And you see this guy, and he is physically a freak. He is a monster of a man. And, you know, his upper body from the chest, shoulders, arms, he just looks like he could do some damage. And his relative athletic score is pretty decent. He was a 7, just a little over 7.5. And, you know, that sounds impressive, but maybe not super impressive. But when you realize just how many good athletes play wide receiver, that's really a good score. You know, there were only a couple knocks on him. He's just a hair over 6 feet, so that knocked him down a little bit. And then his weight and upper body strength were just, you know, a little bit better than average. He had a good vertical, and he had a great broad jump. So, you know, he's explosive. Honestly, his athleticism isn't too much different than Sammy Watkins. He's about the same speed. You know, and, you know, is just a hair over 4.5, which, 'cause he doesn't always, you know, sound great, but there are a ton of 4.5 and 4.6 wide receivers in the NFL, as long as they know how to get open. Everything I hear about this guy is that he is a really smooth route runner. He's got really good releases off the line of scrimmage. And that's what you want when you're looking for an X wide receiver. You know, especially one that's not just a physical freak that's just going to win because he's got some dominant trait. You need somebody that's polished. And that's kind of what he sounds like. And that's similar to a Byron Pringle. That's what he's had to work on to be able to get out there on the field. So you've got Pringle, you've got Powell, who at the very worst, I think is going to be, you know, a very plus special teams player. And hopefully, you know, with the work ethic he showed at Clemson and the perseverance, he'll work his way out onto the field. And I think that in the future, you could possibly see, you know, some Chris Conley-like production from this guy. And you know, you realize, you think of Conley's most productive season with the Chiefs, and, you know, he put up some better numbers than you remember. So I think this is a good pick. I think this is a very good dart throw at a guy, because it's a dart throw at a guy that fits what the Chiefs want in an X receiver. You know, you really don't want to see your team just throwing a dart at a guy that doesn't really fit the mold of what they like anyway. So, you know, I was really excited when I got to look into this pick a little bit more. And then, of course, the Chiefs' last pick came in the sixth round. And there was a guy there that nobody thought was going to be there. You know, there are some guys that fell in this draft, some for medical reasons. Stone Forsythe, the tackle from Florida, he fell, I believe, all the way to the sixth round. If not, then it was late fifth. With Stone, honestly, I haven't really heard why he fell yet. But Trey Smith, the thinking is that in 2018, he had clots in his lungs, and they weren't even sure he was going to be able to play football again. You know, but he's got on medication, he's managed it. He's not had trouble since then, but without the combine and stuff, teams just weren't willing to take a big chance on him. You know, the NFL wants to know that their guys are completely healthy before they take them, or at least that they have a good idea of what's wrong with them. And the Chiefs felt comfortable taking Trey Smith in the sixth round. Honestly, I'm amazed he fell this far, because he's a guy a couple years ago that was talked about as like maybe the top guard in college football. You know, he's just happened to kind of fall this last year. Tennessee's not been the greatest team, but he has went up against the top competition you're going to see in college football. And he has some of the funnest tape, because you talk about adding somebody that's got meanness and aggression. Trey Smith has some meanness and aggression, and he is a big, strong man. And he is going to move some people. Him and Creed Humphreys, and Joe Tooney in the run game, they're going to be able to move some people, and they're going to be able to embarrass some people. And that push right up the middle that the Chiefs haven't been able to get the last few years, they're going to be able to get that. Their run game is going to improve. Now, I don't know that Smith, you know, will start this year. They've got Kyle Long, they've got LDT, but he's definitely somebody that I think, you know, you give him, you know, a year of expectations with the Chiefs, a year of him understanding what the Chiefs' offensive line coach wants out of him, and you get him focused. I think you could have one of the best guards in the league with this guy, and to get him in the sixth round and to get that kind of attitude and aggression the Chiefs were looking for, I think it was just phenomenal. And honestly, there are a lot of great guards that go in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. You know, that's just kind of the value those guys have. You know, they're not the most important guys to have on your team, but it definitely makes you feel better when you have good guards, and the Chiefs do. Now, it does make me wonder that, you know, the Chiefs have been a zone run team almost exclusively since Reed's been there, and with the changes they've had in the offensive line going to the bigger guys, kind of the monster guys, the aggressive guys. It makes me wonder if they're going to go to more of a gap or a power running scheme, a man scheme, where, you know, they're just trying to open up one hole for the running back, and the running back hits that hole. As opposed to zone, where you get more out in space, and your offensive linemen are expected to block more in space, which is one thing Eric Fisher was phenomenal at. Eric Fisher was a phenomenal athlete for a tackle. He just struggled with certain guys and their power. And his body make was just probably never going to be able to handle those guys too well. But what he did give you was the ability to get out in space and block on those screens, things like that. Now, Humphreys does have enough foot speed, I think, to be able to get out and block for some of those screens. Tooney does too. Orlando Brown, probably not the fleetest of foot guy to be able to get out there, but you do still have some options on your offensive line to be able to pull or, you know, get those guys out in space. And Kyle Long, you know, he can do that. But, you know, the Chiefs' offensive line should definitely have more push. And, you know, with Mahomes having time to throw, being able to trust his offensive line, I don't think you're going to see him, you know, fall back as far as he's fell back in the past, kind of drifting in the pocket. You know, he should be able to hold his ground in the pocket. And I think that's smart because, like I said, if Orlando Brown is going to get beat, it's going to be very high up the arc, way back there where Patrick Mahomes in the past has liked to go. So I think that's definitely going to be something he's going to focus on is staying up in the pocket. And then, you know, I've not been the biggest Mecole Hardman fan. I do like having his talent on the team. I like having him as, you know, a slot receiver. And when you've got time with your offensive line, you know, whether Mecole Hardman is a great route runner or not, he's got a physically dominant trait. And if you can block for 5 or 6 seconds, there's nobody who can run with them for 5 or 6 seconds. And you can get the most out of that dominant trait. So I think that, you know, the way this is set up, I feel like it's set up for Hardman to be able to have a very good year. And if teams are worrying about Hardman stretching the defense, then they can't, you know, worry as much about other things. You know, and the Chiefs, by putting all this compensation into the offensive line, that means it's going to be coming, you know, from other places, which is fine. You've just got to make sure that you get the most out of the guys that you've got there. And anybody who listened to the podcast in the past knows I really like Byron Pringle. Now, he might not be a star, but I do think that if he stays healthy, he's a guy that can get you 50 or 60 catches and 900 yards. And DeMarcus Robinson's shown what he can do. He might not be the world's greatest player, but you know, he can do some things. And he can make some plays for your team. And I know the Chiefs got Antonio Callaway at the end of last year and Tajay Sharp. Ugh, excuse me, I'm going to have to get a drink of my Dr. Pepper Cherry here. I've been talking for too long. So the Chiefs do have some high round draft talent in the locker room. It's just not guys that the Chiefs drafted. And Antonio Callaway, to me, is a more athletic DeMarcus Robinson if you can get him the focus and get the most out of him. So there is talent there. Now, if Tyreek Hill goes down, are we in trouble at wide receiver? Probably, but Tyreek Hill is a great wide receiver. Most teams, if they lose their great wide receiver, are going to have some trouble. But that doesn't mean the Chiefs can't win and find ways to make things work. Because as long as you have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and this offensive line, you know, they can change what they do and still win a lot of football games. You know, the undrafted guys I haven't looked into very much. There just didn't seem to be as many of them this year. I did think it was very interesting that Dylan Moses didn't get drafted because of his knee. Nobody could really check it out, and he did re-hurt the knee training. So You know, that's a guy that you hate to see that. You know, he would have been a top probably 20, 25 pick a couple of years ago. And then to completely fall out of the draft. You know, I hate it for the guy. He did sign with the Jaguars. I did notice that the Chiefs did seem to bring in a ton of secondary guys in the undrafted. So I think they're just looking for any value they can find there because the Chiefs do still have a hole at cornerback. As a whole, the roster isn't terrible at corner. But, you know, it'd be nice if they could bring back Bashaud Breeland. If not, they are lacking some experience there. Now, Snead looked like he's going to be an amazing player. You still have Charvarius Ward, who, you know, at worst is average. And you still got Fenton, and you've got the guy they brought in last year that was the Giants draft pick. So there's some talent there. They just need some depth. And same thing at safety. You know, Thornhill, Sorensen, Honey Badger. That's a good trio, but Sorensen's, you know, starting to get a little long in the tooth. Honey Badger, you know, he's you know, the time that he needs to be getting extended. You know, he's going to cost some money, but he's a heck of a player. So, you know, he is approaching 30, but, you know, I think the Chiefs would like to keep him around. And then Thornhill, you know, he started to come back from his knee injury last year. This is his third year, so they got him for a couple more years. But you're always trying to bring in guys because what are the odds of the three of those guys staying healthy for the full season, 17 games in the playoffs? It's probably not super high. So you're going to need some guys who can come in and play those roles. Now, they did bring in a safety from BYU, and I can't remember his name at the moment, but it made me chuckle because I remember Daniel Sorensen being an undrafted guy from BYU, and how funny would it be if his replacement going forward was another undrafted guy from BYU. Andy Reid absolutely loves those guys, so it's nice to see. You know, going forward as a whole, I think the Chiefs are in a good place. You know, I look at their defensive line, and I don't necessarily know how it's all going to work, but they've got a ton of pieces. It's just a matter of fitting it all together. You know, and going forward after this year, they've got some things to figure out, but every team does. You know, linebacker. We've got a couple young ones. It's up to the coaching staff to get what they want out of them. Like I say, in the secondary, I would feel better if we brought in a veteran corner that we knew could start. You know, there's still a lot of time before training camp, before the season starts. There's probably going to be some injuries too. So what looks like a strength right now could turn into a weakness by the start of the season, or what looks like a weakness could turn into a strength. That's just how it works. You know, we definitely know the Chiefs have offensive line depth. I mean, the Chiefs are probably going to have to let a decent player or two go when this season starts. You know, they're definitely going to have the best depth they've had at defensive line in a long time. And with a 17-game season in the playoffs, that's a very good thing to have. It's nice, you know, when you have an offensive lineman that's banged up. Those guys are very tough, but it's nice to be able to say, hey, you know, why don't you rest for a week? Why don't you get healthy? You know, we can put a guy in and not lose much. Because, you know, I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably understand that your offensive line is only going to be as good as the weakest point because you're going to have to help that weakest point and everything's going to get weaker around it. And, you know, with your offensive line, I think you're better off to have, you know, five decent guys than two great guys, a bad guy, and a couple average guys. And that's where we're at right now. We've got solid guys across the board, and I think we're going to have solid guys coming off the bench. Wide receiver, it feels like we're a little bit weak, but there are a lot of names in that room. And when training camp starts, you know, if some of those names start to step up, you know, we might not be as weak as people think, especially with Patrick Mahomes behind this line. You know, there's some value in that for sure. And then the run game, you know, the Chiefs haven't ran a lot the last few years. I'm not a big fan of running anymore. I mean, running backs used to be my favorite part of the game. And, you know, since we got Patrick Mahomes, I want to see him sling it, you know, every time. But we do got some good running backs. The Chiefs signed Jerick McKinnon before the draft. He's one of my favorite players in the NFL. So, you know, I love Darwin Thompson coming out in the draft a few years ago, and he's not necessarily panned out. But if he loses his roster spot because of Jerick McKinnon, I'm okay with that because I love Jerick McKinnon too. You know, for a third down back with explosiveness, he's definitely got that. He did have a horrific knee injury. It did take him over 2 years to come back from it. But he looked very good with the 49ers last year. Kind of the only downside with the Niners was that he had to carry the load for a big part of the season. And he's not a huge back, and it did start to wear him down. But with the role he's going to have with the Chiefs, you know, where you've already got the man and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you've got Darrell Williams who brings some toughness, and you know, he might not be necessarily great at anything, but he's good at everything. And then Darwin Thompson, he's still on the roster. Earlier when I was talking about the offensive line possibly moving to power or gap, that's why he excels at. When he knows where the hole's going to be and that he can just hit it full speed, that's when he becomes a powerful little bowling ball that, you know, can break big runs and bowl people over. So, you know, it would be fun to see him in that capacity, you know, just for my selfish sake. But, you know, the Chiefs do have lots of options. Overall, I feel very good about this draft. I don't feel like jumping up and dancing, but I feel very content and happy with what they did. Honestly, you're probably not going to feel like jumping up and dancing in the draft when you're picking 31, 32 every year, because that's just how it goes. I haven't wanted to jump up and dance since the Chiefs took Patrick Mahomes, and they're definitely not going to replace him anytime soon. You know, it was so fun to be a Chiefs fan before Patrick Mahomes, but there were some rough lean years where you just kind of had to grit your teeth and you didn't understand where this team was going. And then, you know, when they got Patrick Mahomes and, you know, I thought he was going to be good, but you don't know until that first game. And then that first a little RPO slant to Hill that went for a touchdown, your hopes start to rise. And man, by the middle of that rookie season, when it became apparent he was probably the best quarterback in the NFL, that was such a feeling of elation. And then, you know, the sadness of losing the championship game to the Patriots, and then the happiness of beating the Niners in the Super Bowl. And of course, this last year, you know, it just felt like we played really well. We had a good season, but it felt like we coasted. Felt like we coasted through the playoffs, and then we just happened to, you know, offensive line wasn't necessarily a strength going into last year, and then to have the injuries happen like they did. And then Tampa Bay just to bend us over and spank our butt. It didn't feel good. I do feel like they built this team to be able to handle a team like Tampa. I mean, I honestly think Veach is looking at it like there's a very good chance we play them again in the Super Bowl. And when you look at teams like the Ravens and the Bills, who are supposed to be two of our biggest competitors, they drafted defensive ends in the first and second round. Now, the Ravens, they didn't have a ton of pass rush left on their team, but the Bills have pass rush, and they went ahead and drafted two defensive ends. So you can see what they were thinking for sure. They're going to test that offensive line. The Ravens are going to test that offensive line. They're going to try to follow the path that Tampa did. And, you know, I don't think that's going to be the way to beat the Chiefs going forward. So, you know, it should be a lot of fun. And I have talked for almost an hour. I could talk forever about the Chiefs. Thanks for listening, and I'll try to get back with you guys in a couple weeks. Have a good one. Bye.